Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Here in Genesis 32, I believe we have what I believe is the defining moment in the life of Jacob. We all come to those places. Over 21 years have passed, if you remember the story. Jacob's going out to finally meet Esau, his brother. There has come a time in his life. He's run. He's gone as far as he can. He's done all that he can. I don't have time to get all the context of the story, but you know how that his father blessed him. Esau was left out, and because of that, Esau becomes this bitter man. He's cut out of the blessings, it seems like, out of the blessings of God. And he doesn't get that first, that birthright, if you will. And so Jacob now is getting ready to go out and meet Esau, and he's not looking forward to it. There's every kind of thing going through the mind of Jacob here. So let's take up reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And he rose up that night. He took his two wives and his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had." The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint," underscore that in your Bible, "as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Now notice with me again, I pointed out in verse number 25, the Bible says in the latter part of the verse, "And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint." Tonight, for just a moment, I'd like to talk to you on that thought, on what to do when you get out of joint. It's not a new message nor a new title, but I believe tonight that it speaks to where we are, many of us, this evening. This confrontation here that Jacob has with the pre-incarnate Christ is one that I believe speaks to each and every one of us. He's touched in his thigh. He's out of joint. And it is at that point at his life that he could have stopped. He could have quit right where he was. He could have said, "Enough's enough." He could have said to himself, "I'm not going any further. I'm not going to wrestle on." He could have looked at his hurt, and he could have used the excuse of his wounds and what it was that he was going through. He could have said, "I'm disabled, and I'm just not going to go on any further." But what he does here really does decide, and it does define what he's going to be in the future. May I say to you tonight, young people, you do well to remember this. There's not one jot or tittle, there's not one blemish that's on your future right now. I want to say to you, you might be in this service tonight as an adult, and it might be that you've gone through some battles and some challenges. There's some of you in this room that had all these ideas about what your life would look like as you move from your teenage years into adulthood. Some of you in your marriage situation have had some real challenges in your life, and you've had some real battles you've had to come through. There's some of you in this room that had to deal with some real physical things, and some of you tonight have had to say goodbye to a loved one. It'll be at these moments, these pivotal times in your life, that will determine what you're going to do moving forward. Can I tell you tonight that many a church has closed its doors and quit, and many a pastor is sitting at home tonight watching what's going on television, not concerned about what's happening in the pulpit or at church any longer. They've lost their burden and desire to go on for God. May I say to you, the troubles and trials and the struggles and the challenges of life will continue to come our way, and we'll have to make up our mind what it is that we're going to do. Are we going to keep going on for God? Are we going to allow the things that we're going through to define us? Are we going to allow the burdens? Are we going to allow our family problems? Are we going to allow what it is that we can't do determine what we can do? Are you listening to me tonight? David was just such a man. David made plenty of mistakes, and I don't have time to deal with all of David, I promise you. But David was in the same shape. David made mistakes in his life and in his history. And when it came time for him to be able to build the temple, he asked and talked to the Lord. It was in his heart that he could build the house of God. He wanted that more than anything else because he just simply loved God. But God said, no, you're not going to do it. He said, your son's going to be the one that builds the temple. You know, David could have sat down and moped around, gommed around. He could have got upset, sucked his spiritual thumb. But he didn't do that, did he? No, sir. He compiled all the material and he put everything together. Why? Because his desire to live for God and serve God and please God superseded how he felt about what it was that had happened to him. I thought about Peter. Peter here has denied the Lord three times. We know the story, don't we? One of the probably saddest portions of all of Scripture. Here Peter was. He was walking with God. He'd been with the Lord Jesus. He'd experienced the miracles of God. He'd seen all that the Lord had done. And when it come to that fateful day in his life, he denied the Lord. He couldn't even hardly believe it himself. And he could have quit. He could have stopped. He could have given up. And he could have faded off the pages of Scripture, never to be heard from again. But that's not what he did. He stood up on the day of Pentecost under the Spirit of God, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he preached the word of God, and thousands were saved through the preaching. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying to me and you this evening, no matter what it is you're going through, and no matter what fire you're in tonight, no matter what battle it is that you're having to go through, there's a God in heaven that can take the remnants of your life and do great and mighty things with it. Amen. You see, sometimes you feel like you're secondary, and some of you feel like you're no use to anybody, and nobody cares about what you can do. But I tell you, there's a God in heaven who cares about it, amen, and wants to use your life. Watch this. We got to hurry. We see these same types of things in our lives. And so, again, the outcome is yet to be determined about what God can do. Now, how new is it? Here he is. Can you see it and picture it in your mind? He's wrestling with God himself, the pre-incarnate Christ. He's wrestling with him. Imagine that. By the way, it is hard for us to imagine that he's wrestling with God. But he is. That's what the Scripture says. How does he go on? He's injured, he's hurt, he's in many ways disabled. He's never going to be the same. We'll get to that. But here this man is, and he's wrestling on. He's not prevailing, he's not winning, but he's not giving up either. What a great, great story for you and I to examine. Three major things. I'll give them to you. We'll go to the house. Number one, how did he go on? How did he make it? What was it? Well, he had a spirit of perseverance upon him. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Can I tell you something tonight? I've been all over it already, but you got to make up your mind. You got to have a spirit of perseverance about you. Can I tell you that there'll be any number of things that will happen in your life in the days to come? 25 is not going to be easy, or the next 4 years. By the way, I'm glad for the reprieve, aren't you? I'm glad for the election results. I'm happy about that. But you and I, we'd be foolish to think that everything's going to be fine now that we've got the right man in the White House. Listen to me. If I know anything about our history and I know anything about the devil, it's going to make him that much more mad, and there's going to be that much more that happens that falls out unto us. So you better go ahead, strap your seatbelt on, and get ready to hang on, because there's going to be some stuff happening in the next little while that could turn our world upside down. Watch Jacob now. He's persevering in spite of his circumstances. Verse 22 says, and he was alone. He didn't have his buddies with him. He didn't have any companions with him. He didn't have people who had been protecting him there now. There was nobody to go back to. There was no bride. There was no wife. There was no family, no one he could go to and say, hey, I need to talk to you. It was at this point in his life that it was just him and the Lord. It was going to be some serious business and soul searching to take place. Can I tell you something tonight? That it does us well in those moments when things get tight and constrained and hard. I want to say to you, I remember when I was playing football in those summer days of two-a-day practices, and you'd go out there in the morning and you'd practice from 8 to about 11, and you'd do what they called the county fair. How many knows what I'm talking about? You say, what's a county fair? They'd have stations set up all over that field, and you'd go out there and you'd do bear crawls and up and downs and this and that. There was a time, by the way, look this way, there was a time I used to play ball. I know now I look like one. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I used to be a linebacker, and now I'm a defensive lineman. Watch out now. Listen to me. Hey, listen, there's going to be times in your life. There are going to be some tough days and some hard days and some times in your life when it's just going to be you, and you're going to have to find out what you're made out of. It was in this moment Jacob was finding out what he was and what kind of character that he had. Here's the problem with the modern day church. If we don't like things, we'll pick up, we'll go to the house, or we'll just stay at the house because we just don't like how things are going, and we think and imagine that that's going to fix stuff. No, sir, friend, we need to make up our minds that no matter what the circumstances are, we're going to stick in there and make up our mind that we're going to stay with God, because there's a generation that stood up here before us tonight that needs to know that living for God is real, and it does pay to serve Jesus. Amen. In spite of the circumstances, he wrestled on. Watch this. In spite of his condition, he wrestled on. Did you notice the Bible? Verse 25. He's touched in the hollow of his thigh. He's hurt. He's disabled. He's not hardly the man he was before he went into that wrestling match. I've been saved over 31 years now. It's hard to believe. I've been pastoring 20 plus years now. It's hard to believe. Preaching well over 25, 26, 27 years now. I got to throw this in. Been married a good while. Help me, Jesus. God, sure enough, is good. Can I say to you tonight that there are going to be some times, there are going to be some things, there are going to be some battles that you're going to go through, and you're not going to come out unscathed. Somebody said one time, nobody wins the fight. That's probably right to a great degree. If you've ever gotten into any kind of scuffle out on the playground or in high school or on the football field or down at the job, Lord forgive me, anyhow, You're not going to come out of those battles unhurt. You go through church stuff, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. And there are going to be things that are going to hurt you. I've been pastoring long enough now to have people that listen, say they love me. I mean, pat me on the back, hug me, give me a nice size little gift at Christmas time. And listen, when things got tough or they didn't like what I said or what I preached, just to have them to pull up stakes and leave and go their own way. Listen to me tonight. I'm not here to tell sad stories. I'm not here to get you to feel sorry for me. What I'm trying to do is prepare you and let you understand that the struggle is real and the battle is real, and many times you don't come out of those battles the very same way that you went in. Battles are real tonight, but he's wrestling on. He's broken down now. He's hurting. He's not like he was. Some of you that way tonight. You've been through it. But you're still here. You're still going on. You're still showing up. By the way, it ain't always the things that you can see. There's some things going on in here sometimes that nobody knows about but you and the Lord. And you're so hurt. And you're so broken. And you're just right on the edge of being bitter about what's happening. And yet you're still here. And you're still showing up. Can I say tonight, keep doing that. Keep showing up. Come to revival this week. Why? Because it could be in one service that God does something deep down in your soul that turns your world upside down, that you never get over, and you point back to it, say it was 25 that God did something to my heart and set me on fire. Amen. Let me say to you tonight, in spite of his condition, watch this, I got to move, in spite of his conflict, verse 25. I've already been on this. I don't have time to stay here. And the hall of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the Bible says he prevailed not. He's not winning. You see, here's the difference. He is wrestling against God. Some of us tonight have been guilty of that very same thing. God saying something to you and I. I remember when I first started out preaching, I don't know how it is for the rest of you preachers. I didn't come from a preacher's home. I wish I had. I didn't come from a preacher's home. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have a mom and dad that were together past about 4 years old. I was raised by my great-grandmother in Coolum in North Carolina. Raise your hand if you know where Coolum in North Carolina is. That, praise God. Hallelujah. And whoop one time. You see, God was working in my heart. I don't necessarily know that this was a bad thing, but I was wrestling against God. God saying, just do what I tell you to do. Just follow me. Walk with me. Do what I say. And I promise you, son, I'll bless you. And I'll bring you through it. And I'll work it out if you'll just follow me and believe me. But I'm wrestling against God. That's what's going on in Jacob's life. He's wrestling against the Lord. I could be talking to somebody tonight that God's dealing with you about a deep, level of service or a greater commitment in your service. Maybe God is dealing with some young person in here tonight about preaching the Word of God. I don't know what it is. It could be, man, that God is working in your heart about some greater work around this place, and God's put it in your mind and he's put it in your heart. It could be that God's doing that with you tonight and you're just wrestling against the idea and you just can't come to terms and you can't reconcile it and you can't work it out on paper, and you just don't know how God is going to do it. When I walked off the job at Freightliner down in Cleveland, North Carolina, I was making a pretty good living down there, and I remember just like it was yesterday, the supervisor said to me when I went to him, I said, I'm pastoring a church, I'm putting in my 2-week notice, and I won't be here after such a, he said, how are you going to make it? I said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how we're you're going to do it. I just know what God has put in my heart to do, and I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to trust God. Can I tell you, you're looking at a boy that's doing pretty good tonight. God's been taking good care of me this evening. I'm telling you, God, my friend, if you'll stop wrestling against Him and start letting God wrestle with you and teach you what He wants to teach you, you're going to be a whole lot better off. Amen. You see, we have in life the lessons, then the test. But with God, we have the test, then the lessons. It was after Abram in Genesis 12 followed God that God began to show him great things in his life. There's some of you in this room tonight, you can't imagine how God is going to work it out in your family. You can't imagine how God's going to work that thing out. I think about where we are at Shining Light. We're not nearly where we want to be. But when I look back on those days over 5 years ago now, and I see where we are, God has miraculously worked. When I think about, preacher, you being here 18 years, I believe it is, and you look around at all that God's doing. When He walked up on the property and God put it in His heart to be in this place, I know that being a pastor's son, he had a real good idea about how ministry works, but that's daddy and that's mama. That's not Jonathan Barker. And he's got all these things that he wants to do. And I'm telling you, I understand that, but it takes time. And God's showing you this and preparing you here and getting you ready for that. Why? Because, friend, God has greater things ahead, but we have to understand it's a developing process. Amen. So he's wrestling now with God, and God's training him, and God's teaching him. I thought about this. I'll say this, and I'll move on. Moses is on the backside of the desert. And here's this man now. Eventually, he's standing at the Red Sea. Eventually, he stretches forth that rod. And eventually, he sees this miracle of the Red Sea standing up on a heap. And God elevates him to a place of greatness. But where did God find him? On the backside of the desert. Here's a good lesson for you young people tonight. You're not where Pastor Barker is tonight. But if you'll stay with God and you'll wrestle on, God can elevate you to greatness. I promise you that. Watch this. Not only do we see here his perseverance, but then I believe also very important tonight, we see that he gets plain. Look at verse number 27 tonight in our text. And the Bible says, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" Here's what he says. And he said, "Jacob." That's kind of a In the whole scope of the story, I mean, it's important, but maybe not the most important, but I like this. It was in this moment that Jacob finally came to terms with who he was. He got personal with God. He's plain about who he is. He's not the son of Isaac. He's not the one who seemingly now has the birthright and the blessings. No, he comes clean and he gets everything out in the open. Can I tell you something tonight, friends, that sometimes we're going about our lives, even in church life, and we're great at pretending. We have taken this idea of pretense to another level in the independent Baptist movement. We're good at hiding things. I'm not always talking about all the bad stuff, but we're good at hiding the hurt. We're good at hiding the trouble. We raise our hand on Wednesday night for prayer requests before we get around the altar, And we won't come clean sometimes and say, I got a grandson over here that's out of the will of God, because we're afraid that somebody is going to think wrong about us, or we're afraid sometime to go to Miss Leslie and say, Miss Leslie, I need you to pray for me. I've got some things in my heart that I'm dealing with, and I really need you to help me pray about this matter. Church, listen, if we're going anywhere with God, we're going to have to get plain. Amen. We're missing that. I was thinking about years ago, it used to be common practice. Brother Chills, it used to be common practice when, if this one had a problem with that one, this one wouldn't have a problem with going and getting right with this one. Or even if this one wasn't wrong, he knew something wasn't right, he'd go to that one over here and they'd get things right and they'd get in the altar and they'd get right, and then revival would break out. But we're not coming plain like we need to. We're not coming clean like we need to. What could happen here? I don't know of anything. I've not talked to Pastor Barker. I don't have any idea. All I know is God's working here in such a tremendous way. Folks are being saved. God's doing a work here. And I say hallelujah for it. But how much more could God do? If we get some things out in the open tonight, I don't want to hear your dirty laundry. I don't want to hear all, I don't. But there are some things tonight we need to do some business with God over. Are you listening to me? I see here, notice he got plain about who he was. Watch this. He gets plain about what he wants. The Bible says here in verse number 28, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God, and with men hast prevailed. And Jacob answered and said, well, wait a minute, back up. Verse 26, where I want you to see. And he said, I will not let thee go except, say it with me, thou bless me. Sorry about that. She's going to be tired after the service. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You ever thought about it in terms like that? You know, we come to church so often. We're going to be coming to revival all this week. I'm leaving early in the morning. I'm going to PA. I'll be gone all week long preaching in meetings similar to this. But I wonder how many of us have really taken time and meditated on, what do I want God to do for me this week? You see, preacher, what we've done in our church, sir, I'm not being ugly, and I don't claim to know it all. I sure hadn't been writing any books. But you know what we do sometimes? We imagine revival and church and all of this is something that's happening to us. I mean, it's a form of entertainment for some. They come because that's the thing to do. I'm not fussing at you for being here. What I am asking you tonight is, how much thought have you given and how much time have you talked to the Lord about what you need God to do for you, what you want God to do for your family, what you want God to do for your pastor, what you want God to do for your pastor's family, what you want to see God do here at Amazing Grace. I mean, really, what have you talked to God about? He says to that pre-incarnate Lord Jesus, there as he wrestled, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That spirit of perseverance and plainness, getting right, yet letting him know, this is what I got to have. I believe it was that same spirit, preacher, that Elisha had on him when he went with Elisha again and again. After those prophets, sons of the prophets, made fun and scorned and mocked him for going and following, your master's leaving today. Yeah, I know it. But I'm going anyway. And you find out in those verses that he's going with purpose. Yes, sir. He said, I got to have twice as much as you've got, man of God. I want that double portion. And I ain't going to be satisfied with anything else. Church, you don't have to be satisfied with average, mediocre, just coming and going. No, sir, your life can be alive and vibrant. And I'm telling you, it can be exciting to serve God. Amen. That's what we're missing sometimes. I thought about this. I'm done. I see here, first of all, he had that spirit of perseverance. He was persevering. He was plain. And boy, this is deep. He prayed. It's real deep, isn't it? He prayed. Verse 26 says, tonight, and he said, let me go. For the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Except that. Look what happens. He hangs on. He determines in his heart. He stays with it. He doesn't quit. He doesn't sit down. He doesn't go to the house. He doesn't give up. And look what happens in his life. Watch this. Verse 28 in our text tonight. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. Number one, he becomes a prince. Yes, sir. Look at where God elevates him to. He puts him in a place now that you can't even imagine. But he's got a new status. He's got a new position now. He is prince. He is this elevated one. Church tonight, listen to me. It really is honest. Listen, when God's people begin to get close to God and cry out to God and call on God, I'm telling you, God delights in giving his children things in their lives. Amen. Just like a daddy or a mama loves to provide for their children, to give to their youngins. How much more does our Father love the daily load of us with benefits? I mean, think about just today all that God has done for you, that God has blessed you with, the things that God's doing in your life. You can't put a price tag on them. I mean, most of us tonight, if we had all evening, couldn't even write down half of them, because they're just too numerous for us to even think about. But God has given us a new status, a new position. Watch this. He also, the Bible says, he gets power. The Bible says, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God. I was telling this story the other day. There's a man down in Advance. He's with Jesus now. He's in heaven. His name was Henry Miller. When I first got saved, started going to the Yadkin Valley Baptist Church down there, I may have told this, some of you may have heard this, but Brother Henry just loved God so much. He just loved God so much. We're out knocking on doors one evening together. He said, Brother, he said, I've been so close to God at times that I really did have to be careful. He said that I prayed in the will of God, he said, because I knew when I asked something, God was going to do it. God was going to do it. He said, I could pray and get things from God. He wasn't bragging either. It was a humble thing in which he was telling me, what am I saying tonight, to have the power of God on your life. Amen. What kind of price tag do you put on that? To be able to walk with God, to have the presence of God in your life, to know that when you pray, heaven pays attention. Wouldn't that be something tonight? To know that in a matter of time, I know we've been praying about some things for some length of time and God hasn't seen fit to do it yet. But there's some times that before you say the final amen, God's already worked it out. Having power with God. I want to say to you tonight, he prayed. He becomes a prince. He gets power. The Bible tells us he prevails. He wins out. He comes out on the other side of that thing. I know. God could have snapped his neck. I mean, my goodness, God could have took care of him right there on the spot. But there's a great principle there for you and I. He just stayed with it, and he prevails. Sometimes we stop short, don't we? It'd be a bad thing to hit a home run and get right almost to home plate and decide you're going to take a right and go to the dugout. It never seemed right. You ever see these guys running a touchdown? How many football fans are they? How many Washington fans are they? Who cares? I've been liking them since John Riggins, praise God. Anyhow, See these guys running the football and they get all the way almost to the goal line. They do something dumb. They spike the ball, drop the ball, punt the ball, do a flip, leave the ball behind. I think sometimes that's the way some of us do when it comes to spiritual things. There's a lot of things we don't get to see. What if Mary hadn't went to the tomb on that resurrection morning? She might not have seen the resurrected Lord at all. She didn't stop short, did she? I don't know how many people I've known, especially young people, that serve God, especially in their youth, into their teenage years, and then they get a little liberty out there in those late teenage years. Get out into the early 20s and kind of get on their own, making their own decisions, making their own money. And now all of a sudden, you know, serving God, going to church, reading my Bible, living for Jesus, that ain't all that important. You know what they've done? They sold themselves short. They sold themselves short. Youngins, listen to me. Every young person that's below the age of 52, look this way. 52 and younger, young person. Hallelujah. Don't stop short. Don't stop here. Don't stop on this side. I thought about preaching this morning 1 Kings 18 and the latter part of the chapter, verses 41 and finishing the chapter. You remember when Elijah told the servant, go up? They was already on the mountain. As a matter of fact, they was on top of the mountain. And he said to his servant, he said, now you go on up. Well, he thought he was already at the top. You know what that tells me? There's always another level. Is it okay to be down here? Do I need to go back up here? Is it making y'all nervous? Listen to me. And we stop short. We stop on this side of what God has for us. But not Jacob. Not this time. He'd been mischievous. He'd been a supplanter. He'd been cunning and all his life he'd been scheming, working his plans, doing his thing. But finally, enough's enough. And he realizes, I don't have to live that way anymore. This is it. And I'm going to hang on. I was down in West Charlotte playing football as a senior. No, I was a junior in high school. And we're Davie County, you know, just rural, one high school. Not a lot of great athletes, some. Thank you. Yeah. It was one. Anyhow. Brother John, I remember that first play that night that they ran from scrimmage. It was a toss sweep to the right. West Charlotte was the number one seed in the state that year, by the way. We was just lucky to get in. Lucky, fortunate, whatever. I was playing free safety. You know, I was built pretty good. I was probably 165, 170 at the most. They toss sweeped it to a guy that he looked like a refrigerator. I'm not lying. He looked like a refrigerator. When he hit me, he felt like a bus. Now, to my credit, I will say this. I brought him down about 10 yards down the field. Something that stays on that long on another something or another ought to have to pay a fare, praise God. I did. I stuck a dollar bill in his pocket and said, I'm sorry, man. I had to get off his ride. I wish that wasn't true. He prevailed. Verse 30. Again, I really am done this time. Somebody, what happened to my 15-minute water? Yeah, there it is. That's just for closing. I'm fixing to open it. Watch this. Verse 30. Look in your Bible now. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob goes off to scriptures, though he is, there's a lot of things about Jacob's life that we have a hard time reconciling. We can't understand how God allows some of the things that goes on in Jacob's life to go on. I'm glad I'm not God. I'm glad I don't have to figure everything out. But it does go off the page. If his life had ended before this moment, we'd have said, that right there is a book. You could write a book about Jacob's life, about what not to do. But there are some good things in chapter number 32 and on that we can take from his life that will truly help us, propel us forward into our Christian life. Yes, let's learn from his mistakes. But let's also do what he did. Let's persevere. Let's get plain. And let's get to praying and talking to God about these things. Then God will change your name, change your walk. He'll preserve you. And then you can have a testimony down the road somewhere. I don't know about any of the things that they did beyond, as far as in life, what they did for a living. I don't know about all those things. But I know that man loved God. I know that lady lived for Jesus. They stayed with it. Hey, what are you going to do when you face the pivotal moments in your life? Some of you, this younger crowd, you're right at that high school age of graduating. And it's all out there in front of you. What's going to be next? This can be a defining moment for you. Listen to me, ma'am. I know everything's not perfect at home. We know that. Sir, I understand. Listen to me. I don't know why you're dealing with what you're dealing with. Listen to me, Mom and Dad. I don't understand about... I do and I don't understand about all you're going through with your children. But it ain't time to fold up the tent. This church needs you more than that. God needs you. So let's get plain with God. Let's let that spirit of perseverance get on us again. Let's get to talking to God about that thing. Could we do that tonight? Let's stand our feet.